can go slow motion.
Hey, good morning again. Well, your bulletin says we're going to talk about spring ahead, not the time change, that's next week. But we're going to talk about how the church is springing ahead in a way that is new for us. And you have heard some about this before, but today you're going to hear the official scoop about something very important and very exciting regarding the church. Hey, I want to do a little run through history first. And this church started in a house on Graham Ave. And any of folks that were part of that, it was a group of college students, really, essentially, that started it. Any folks that were part of that group on Graham Ave, would you please stand up? This was part of our original roots. I think they deserve a hand. There was a few more. Yeah. Now, stay standing. We're gonna layer this, okay? We're going to layer this. And there were some first service that were here as well. But really, it was a couple handfuls of families that started the church as college students on Nanofor Graham Ave. And then from there, was it from there it went to the movie theater? The movie theater. Anybody join when it was at the movie theater? What a great place to join. But nobody, I don't think, we didn't add any at the movie theater, okay. But get this, then we met in a funeral home, and we added some folks at the funeral home. Stand up if you came at that time. Rob. And, what, Sue? Not you? No, you came later. Okay. And so Graham Ave, the theater, the funeral home, then 1108 Second Avenue. We bought a building. The church bought a building. Stand up if you joined us then. I'm going to stand up now. And notice the church is starting to grow a little bit with some of its people that are involved. Then we met across the road. How many of you started attending? At that point, we called ourselves Cedar Creek. Started attending when we were renting or leasing the building across the road. A few more, and that leaves all the rest of the people came when we purchased the building in 6 acres and moved it over to here. So that's awesome. What a good run through history. Thank you. You can have a seat. That's significant about what we're talking about today. When Jesus was resurrected, he spent 40 days after the resurrection talking to his disciples and teaching them things that he wanted them to carry on and teach. And at one point, the disciples were saying, Lord, where should we go? What should we do to start the church when you go back to heaven? And he said, hey, guys, don't go anywhere. You stay right in Jerusalem. And I want you to be waiting for the Holy Spirit. I want to talk to you about God says that when Jesus went back to heaven, he gave us his Spirit so that his Spirit can be with us all the time and us as well. And I just want to read what he told them. This is the beginnings of the early church here. He said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And we are a Great Commission church. The Great Commission is very much a part of who we are. It's part of our DNA. Jesus gave us the Great Commission and we boil that down to winning people, building them up in their faith, and then sending. That's our mission here at Cedar Creek. You hear that a lot. Winning, building, and sending. And we really believe that our Jerusalem here at Cedar Creek is, of course, the Chippewa Valley. And we reach people from, I'm amazed at how far people will drive to come to church. It's just incredible. We have a couple that drives from Elk Creek. And we have people that come from Osseo, and people that come from Augusta and Fairchild and Fall Creek, and people that come from Elk Mound and Menominee, and people that come from Chippewa Falls and Halley. I'm sure I am. Quite a surrounding area. Cedar Creek feels it's the time for us to go to Judea. And what that means for us is we have been talking and praying about planting a church in another city in Wisconsin for some time now. And this has been a process that's been going on a long time. And officially, we want to tell you this morning that it's kind of like Cedar Creek, we're having a baby, you know. We have 7 children, and many times I've looked at the pregnancy test with Mickey as it turned into a plus, and it's turned into a plus, you guys. And we're going to birth our first church child. And so Judea for us is the La Crosse area. We considered a couple of different areas, and really God put it on our hearts and made it very clear that that's an area that would work well. It matches our personality very well. It's very similar to the Chippewa Valley, and we think with the people that we're going to go with, we can duplicate a lot of the things we do here and try to grow and start a church, a brand new church. The Great Commission, really, when you talk about Samaria, I would see that as our entire nation. There are Great Commission churches throughout the nation, and to the ends of the earth, we have Great Commission churches all around the world, and they're continuing to be planted every year more and more. This is something new for us at Cedar Creek, and we're all a part of that. And it's a radical thing, but it's a difficult thing in some ways, but it's a good thing because it's gospel-related. We're moving forward in the gospel, and that's what God wants us to do. And we can do that when we're here, and we can do that when we go, and we all have a part in that. All right? Now, I have some... a couple of things, I guess, a little bit more history. There are presently, we spoke to some folks, and there are presently on our plant team 15 adults and 11 children. And to the point where we felt we had enough of a nucleus to say yes to this and what we felt God was calling us and leading us to do. We met with our regional overseers, Pastors Mark Darling and Mark Bowen from the cities, and they gave us the green light. We talked to the trustees. We talked with our ministry leaders last week. And today we want to just inform the church in general. But we have 15 adults and 11 children. I think it represents 7 or 8 different families. If you're part of that team, just stand up right now, if you would. We don't want to leave anybody out. But we have... you'll be hearing more from these folks in the future, but let's see if we can get everybody. The Halversons, Craig and Cindy Halverson, they drive a long way to come to church this way. They're willing to drive even a little further to go and help us the other way. They're part of our plant team. And as you can see, we have the Holmans with their new little baby Emma, and the Klesigs right here, and the Wises with their new little baby Nora, and Josh and Colleen Toltzman are also part of our group. And there's Colleen, and we have Nick Eckler, and Josh and Chelsea Becker. They have a little boy named Herschel, and that is the and then the Markowski family, and that's the team as it stands right now. Thanks, guys. You can have a seat. I expect that the team will grow. I expect that God will continue to move in different people's hearts and lives, and He'll expand that some more. But we feel we have a core group, a mature group, where we can go and really have God start something that will be long-lasting, just like has happened here at Cedar Creek. I have some prayer requests that we've talked about, and I think they speak to some of the different areas that we'll be facing as we move ahead. Our timeline for this church plant is the summer of 2010. It's nothing that you say, well, let's do it, let's just go ahead and do it. There's going to be a lot of planning, preparing and praying happening between the time now and between when we actually launch the church. And so there's a lot that will happen between then and now. The plant team has already met a little bit, but we'll start meeting a lot more leading up to that year before. And so there's a lot of blanks to fill in. And God knows just what those will be, but in many ways we do not yet. These are our prayers, that God would build unity stronger than the devil's schemes and attempts to derail us. You know, we know that God is strong, and we know that the devil is real, and he doesn't like this idea. And it's going to be so important for our team to stay united. It's going to be so important for this church, Cedar Creek, the parent that's birthing this church plant, to stay united. It'll be very important for all of us to do that. That we would have faith trusting God to build his church, and we would be faithful servants. It was Jesus who said, I will build my church. Jesus is not telling our plant team, go and build my church. That's his job. We will be faithful servants. We will love people. We will share the gospel. And that the rest is really up to God to build his church. Just like happened here with the faithful few that started on Graham Ave. Very exciting. That the details of job and housing would be divinely timed and guided. That's a big deal, you know, to make a move. A lot of times when we move, it's for a better job. And in this case, that's not the reason anybody's moving. We're not moving for a better job. We're moving for the gospel, and that's the only reason, and it's going to be a great reason when people say, why are you guys, what brought you here from Eau Claire? We're planting a church, and it'll be a great opportunity to just even introduce what that means and why we're here. There's going to be a lot involved with moving, and that can be overwhelming, but really pales compared to the gospel and the reasons that we're doing this. And so there are a lot of details that God is going to have to work out for people to get jobs. As it stands, I'm part-time with the church, and I'm part-time with the school district. When we plant this church, I'll be full-time with the church. So in a sense, I'm the only one that's moving that will have a job in line. Everybody else will be looking for a job. And so that's a big deal. It really is. And we also put that we would be a church plant that will also plant a church someday. It's taken a while for Cedar Creek to get to this point. We really clearly feel like God has brought us to that point. And we want to also be a point. I was talking with some of the others and say, wouldn't it be cool if our kids plant a church someday from this church plant? I don't know what God has in store, but that's our heart. Not that just we go start something that is just in, it stops right there, but it would continue. And that's, so we want to just inform you all. That is the plan. That it's a lot of things. It's a lot of, I tell you, when you talk about planting a church, and initially there's kind of a glamour to it, and it sounds very wow and exciting, but then when the reality strikes and you're really going to, you know, sell your house and you're really going to move to a new place and leave what's so comfortable and leave what you love, it really is changes things. It's not all that glamorous anymore, and I know there's a lot of work ahead, and I know there's a lot of faith ahead. But I know that God is strong and God is big, and we really think if God is behind this, He will, faithful is He who calls us, who also will do it. Really believe that's true, and I know He calls us to do this, and I believe He'll enable us to do whatever it is He has for us. I think those are the basics. Rob is going to talk a little bit about how it's going to affect all of us here at Cedar Creek and how we're all going to continue to remain a team together.
Doug mentioned the Great Commission, and really what that is this passage, or it comes from this passage in Matthew 28, and this really drives us kind of what we do, why we do it. And it says, then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And this thought has really driven and motivated us here at Cedar Creek throughout the years. All the different things that we do are really designed to try to make this happen. That this is, if you will, kind of our marching orders as a church that God gave us, really all churches, not just Cedar Creek, but as His children, as His people. This is what He wants us to do, to help people recognize that God wants a relationship with Him, that God's desire from the beginning was for people to know Him, for Him to be close to them. That's what God wants. But that because of our sin, we're separated from God. But God gives us a plan to come back into a relationship with Him. And if we have accepted that plan, if we've accepted the payment that Christ made for us, and if we've become God's children again, then God tells us to go out and to help other people find that, to recognize that God loves them, that God has a plan for them to be right with Him, and that they can grow in that. That's what this really means. You know, go make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them. It's really talking about helping the world around us recognize God's plan for them and helping them find it and grow in it, just like we help each other do that. That's why we do what we do here. That's motivated us throughout the years. That really drives and it's behind everything we do. That win, build, send. We want to win people to Christ, build them up in that relationship with Christ, and then send them out to help others do the same thing. As we've done that over the years, or if you choose to do this as a church, there there are costs and risks associated with that, which is true of anything that's good. Anything that's worthwhile, there's a cost to it. If you're going to raise a family well, there's a cost to that, and there are risks involved in that. If you're going to start a business, there are costs and risks associated with that. If you do anything worthwhile, it costs you something, and there are some risks associated with it. It's no different for us as a church. If we're going to do what God wants us to do, it costs us something, and there are some risks. And throughout the years, as we have stepped out in faith as a church and done these things, we have incurred the costs, and we have borne the risks. For example, Doug was talking about down on 2nd Avenue. This is a picture of 1108 2nd Avenue. Back in, I think it was 84 or 85, the church bought that building, paid cash for it. I don't think much cash. I don't know how much I don't remember how much we bought it for. But anyhow, it was a church at one time. By the time we got it, it had been converted to apartments. And so the sanctuary part and the upstairs where the church part was had all been converted into little rooms. And so we met in the basement. That was the biggest room in the place. And it was okay. But, you know, it was an old building. It had some... It just wasn't everything that it could be, and so we chose to put all kinds of money into it. And some of you remember here working on that thing, and we tore out the kitchen, we tore out all of the walls in there, knocked down the concrete, tried to make it much more livable, much more usable space. There was a house next door to the church that had been condemned by the city. We bought that. I don't remember if we knocked the house down or if it's... Anyhow, we bought the land, made a parking lot there, built a retaining wall. We just poured a lot of money and effort into this old, old, old building. Why? Well, because we really wanted to use it. That's what we had. We wanted to use it to win and build. We wanted people to come to know God, and we thought, hey, we can do this, but it cost us something in money. It cost us something in effort. That's Greg Fallonsby shoveling concrete with a spade. That ain't easy. And we did a lot of that back then. It cost us something. Then from there, God blessed that. He used that. He used the effort and the money that we put into it, and more people came. Well, then we kind of filled that up, and we thought, you know what, there's only so much we can do with that old building. We really need to do something else. So we took another step. We thought, hey, we want to influence even more people. And so we leased from the state that this building that we're in now was over there. It was the Waterworks Waterbeds building. It had been purchased by the state because they were going to build that bypass, right, that you see right there. The state bought this building, and they were going to knock it down. We knew they were going to knock it down, but we leased it from the state anyhow because we thought, you know what? We're going to have 2 or 3 years there. It's high visibility. It's bigger. It's nicer. And so we leased it from the state and poured thousands of dollars into this building. When we moved in here or when we leased it, the only wall in the place was that one there. It ran down the length of the building. This was all wide open. Their side was all wide open. We poured thousands of dollars into this building, lots and lots of effort. Here's some of you remember that tiling and painting and vacuuming and scraping, and we poured all this money into it knowing that it was going to be temporary. They were going to run the bulldozers right through the middle of it in 2 or 3 years. And there was a great cost associated with that. There was great risk associated with that. There's Doug down there with the big glasses and the Cubs hat. There was risk associated with that. We sold our home, our 1108 2nd Avenue home, and moved to a place that we knew we were only going to have for 3 years. Where were we going to go? We didn't know. We poured thousands of dollars into a place that we assumed was going to get bulldozed. Why? Because we thought, this is what God's asking us to do. We paid the cost, we bore the risk, and God blessed it. Many, many people came over there. Then we had the opportunity to buy this building and to buy this land here and to move it over, and that was way more money, way more effort. We had to cut the building in half, literally, cut the building in half, take out all of the sheetrock. And then they picked it up, moved it over here, put it back down there. We had to put all the sheetrock back and staple the building together. I don't know what they did. They put it back together somehow, super glued it together. That's what... They didn't let us work on that at all. We were... But again, a huge cost. Now we're talking tens, hundreds of thousands of dollars. Hundreds of thousands of dollars. This was not a huge church. And it really was kind of like Field of Dreams. If we build it, Lord, we hope people come because we're going to need help paying for this thing. And so we took the risk. We paid the cost, the effort, the coming on weeknights. We used to come down and have supper here for people so they could work on the building. We've done this over the years. And not just with facilities. We've done different things that cost us something, that there was a risk involved with, because we felt that's what God was leading us to do. We started The Edge 8 years ago. The Edge is our college church service. It meets down at the tech school. We started 8 years ago really with we just really felt God was calling us back to campus. We hadn't been there for, well, kind of since I had been on campus 20-25 years ago, and we just had this heart to be used to be influential down there with the college students. And so we didn't have any money to do it. We didn't really have I kind of spearheaded that, but I had to stop doing an awful lot of things up here at Cedar Creek that I had been doing. Doug and Dave really had to take on a lot of my responsibilities because I was spending a lot of time down on campus. We didn't have any money at all. It cost us about $1,000 a month to rent space at the tech. We didn't have it. We didn't have any music equipment, but we said we were going to do this anyhow. And so we took the risk. We incurred the cost, and God bless. There was a guy named Matt Irwin, Megan's brother, who was accepted to medical school in Madison. He had been accepted. He had graduated from here in Eau Claire, but he didn't go to medical school that year. He stayed here in Eau Claire and just took a job somewhere and helped us start The Edge. That's a cost to him. There's a risk involved there. But we paid the cost, we took the risk, and God blessed. Many of the folks over on this side of the room came from The Edge. Many of the people who were going on the church plant were met Christ or were built up in Christ there through The Edge. We paid the cost, we took the risk, and God blessed. Same thing when Dave went to Germany. 4 years ago, Dave and Sandy, the other, Dave's the third pastor here, we really felt like it would be good for us to send him to Germany to pastor a church there, and they were gone for 3 years. And they left home. They left their families. They were starting to have grandkids. They left what was comfortable. Dave had been a pastor of this church, I think, for 25 years or something like that at that point. They went anyhow. It cost us as a church a lot. You know, Dave and Sandy were stalwarts here. And to pick them up out of the middle of the church and to send them somewhere else, there's a great risk involved there. But we paid the cost, we took the risk, and God blessed. That's what we're doing now. That's what this is. This is our history. This is what we do. God calls us to a great thing, and if we're going to do it, it costs us something, and there's a risk that we're willing to take. And so we have to do that now. As we send this team off to La Crosse, there are costs and risks that we're going to have to bear. One of them is just financial. Our desire, our hope is to fund the church for 3 full years, so that they can get on their feet. And after 3 years, what we're hoping, and this is a risk, but we're hoping that they'll be self-supporting at that time. And so it's going to cost us something. The trustees are already setting money aside for this church plant. We're going to come to the church, to family, much like I did with Dave and Sandy when they went to Berlin, and ask people if they would be willing to pledge an amount over and above what they're giving already for a certain amount of time to help get this thing off the ground. It's going to cost us dollars to make this happen. It's going to cost us effort and labor, certainly on their part. They're going to go down 15 adults who are used to being in a church of 300 or 350, and they're going to have to do an awful lot more, and so are we. We're going to have to, those of us who are left are going to have to fill in the gaps. We're sending a lot of our best and brightest down there, which is good, but we're going to have to, they do things here that we're going to have to step up and fill those holes. They give money that we're going to have to, replace. So there's going to be a cost in service and just us really taking on the labor of making this church thrive and flourish. There's going to be a cost, and I think maybe this is perhaps the greatest cost, or at least one of the most maybe the hardest to spend, and that's a relational cost. People ask me what I think about the church plan, and I tell them, I'm very excited. I'm very confident that this is what God's leading us to do. Very confident. I'm convinced this is a good thing. I really am excited and happy that we're doing it. But at the same time, I'm very sad because a lot of the people that are going, I feel very close to. And I feel in many ways like people that I have grown to love very, very much are leaving. And that's a very sad thing for me. I think of a lot of these guys over here and the things that we've done over the years and the ways that we've, just how God has led us. And I think just being thrown in with Doug when Dave left and Doug and I looking at each other and thinking, we have to run this church. And you got any ideas? And but it was, I mean, we'd grown close. We're starting to dress alike now. Look at this. We look, but I'm going to miss these people terribly. And there's a cost there. But we pay the cost because we believe that God leads. And we believe that God will bless. And we have a history to look back on and say, every time we've done this, and we've incurred the cost, and we've borne the risk, God has blessed. And we believe with all our heart that's what's happening again. As a church, we're taking the next step. And just lastly, before I open it up for questions, and if you guys have questions or comments, we'd love to try to answer them, but just what to expect out of this. What are our expectations of seeing this happen? Well, very simply, I guess, and succinctly, we expect both places to flourish. That's our heart. That's our desire. We don't know the timing of it. We don't know all the ups and downs and how many peaks and valleys the La Crosse plant will have to go through, Cedar Creek will have to go through, but we truly expect this to be a blessing to La Crosse and a blessing to Eau Claire. We do not in any way think that sending these people to La Crosse is going to harm Cedar Creek. On the contrary, we believe that as God prunes us, it just opens the space for more growth, deeper growth, better growth here. We're already thinking ahead. What's the next big step that we're going to take here in Eau Claire at Cedar Creek? And that's a conversation for another day. But we're thinking ahead already. All right, what's the next big thing that we're going to do? What's the next leap of faith that's going to cost us something that's going to have a risk that God's going to lead us into? We expect both places to do well, not because we are so good at this, but because we trust God. And we have seen over the years that God, that's just how God has operated. And again, we don't know how many dips and valleys and it's going to be difficult. We understand that, but our expectation is good because we really believe that God is in this. And this is another leap of faith, somewhat, for us. So, do you guys have questions or thoughts or anything that you'd like to say? Shelley? Everyone will have the Lord.
Amen. We're counting on that.
That's right. Thank you, Shelley.
If he goes with us, we'll be okay.
Questions, anyone?
Krista. Oh, there's a big one I've been praying about, but it's an impossibility apart from God. We don't know where we're going to meet and locate. Just let you know, I'm making a couple of contacts with some local La Crosse pastors. We're going to meet with one from the north side, a big evangelical church on the north side, and he's willing to tour us around and let us ask him questions about the spiritual climate. It's the biggest evangelical church in the area, so we'll gain a lot of information by picking his brain. And then we're going to meet, a few months later, we're going to meet with a pastor on the south side of La Crosse that planted a church 25 years ago. And we're going to just get a feel for the demographic and for the area. We have no idea where we're going to meet yet, but I'm glad God does. And he'll make that clear as we go, but I'm not sure where that will be yet. So we don't have a building. We don't have land. We don't have We're kind of starting like the edge at this point, I guess, and that's okay. CJ. Well, Great Commission churches, you know, we're part of the Northlands Regional, Minnesota, North Dakota, and Wisconsin. They are very excited, CJ, to they've watched us grow over the years and gotten to know us, and they are very excited that we're going to, you know, in a sense, be birthing our first child. And they're right alongside with us. They're going to be supporting us financially, significantly. And
we don't know exactly how much.
So they're a part of that, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, before we started this whole process, we were thinking it'd be great to have a couple dozen people. As of right now, we have 15 adults and 11 children. I think when you plant a church, what the more important criteria is that you have a core of mature Christian believers, because we're going to go and we're talking about all of us will be serving. There'll be nobody sitting in the chairs, and everybody will be workers, you know. And
that will be like the edge if any of you were there early on.
But we have room to grow, that I know, and I don't know if that has to be capped or whatever, but we have room to grow for sure.
Jason.
I'm just curious what that looks like on the ground, and having not been part of a church plant, what does that look like for the team members?
A little bit scary, am I right? It, you know, really, you know, the glamour is kind of gone once the reality hits, and when you start thinking about, you know, getting a new job, not because you don't have one in place and it's not a better job, you're just going to get a new job because you're going to need to. Leaving what's familiar and leaving, it really is, there's a very humbling part of it, there's a very sad part of it, there's a very scary part of it, but, you know, I'm already finding that it's a time to really stretch my faith and just look at God's promises and just say, this is going to be true for us. This is true because he said it, and it's going to be more, even more so true in a personal way. And so what that'll, is that what you're getting at, or is it more how's the church going to look when we... My heart is that as our church in La Crosse area grows, it's not from anybody coming from any other church. I believe there are enough people out there that don't go to church anywhere or that are completely turned off to church. And if we love people and if we share the gospel and we do, you know, outreaches and community events and bridge activities and have small groups and get to know our neighbors and go to the park, we found as a family when we go to the park with 10 of us, we draw a crowd. And
We
are a crowd. That's right. So it's really going to be stretching in those ways to just, but that's exciting too.
Other questions, thoughts? Yeah, Brad.
No. We don't have a name yet. That'll be important. You know, this is the Chippewa Valley. We'll be ministering in the Coulee region. One of the pastors I've been communicating with, very encouraging email, he said, our area will be so blessed to have you guys come and minister in the Coulee region. So what an open heart he already has for us, and that's very exciting to hear. But we don't have a name yet.
Yeah, Lisa.
It's not overly saturated. I couldn't tell the exact number. I think from what I remember from about a year ago, there were about 12 different major evangelical churches that I can recollect. I believe one of them was non-denominational like us. And so we don't feel like the area is in any way overly saturated with evangelical churches. There's a lot of big Catholic churches, a lot of big Lutheran churches, But I think there's room for to do kind of what we do here, yeah. There.
And La Crosse is a lot like Eau Claire in the sense that it draws from a lot of the surrounding regions. Plus, in Eau Claire, we've got Altoona, Chippewa Falls, kind of all right together. There's Holman and Onalaska right there. There's La Crescent right across the river. It's a real regional center, so people come into La Crosse from all the surrounding areas, just like Eau Claire. That's one of the big things that we are excited about is we feel like in a lot of ways La Crosse is very similar to Eau Claire. There's the universities, there's the hospitals, it's a regional retail center. So it's not like these guys are going to be going to Madison, which we also thought about, but Madison really is a different feel, a different world. So we're thinking this is going to be very similar. Maybe one more thought or question. Why doesn't the band come on up? Anyone else have a thought or a question? Anyone?
I'll just wrap us up as we pray then. Father, your word tells us that your divine power gives us everything we need for life and for godliness. Lord, in our personal lives, you lead us and you give us the ability to grow and to not stay the same, to be different every day and in all the different areas that we are personally in. And yet as a church too, Lord, we just trust that your divine power will lead us in this. Lord, you go ahead of us, you go behind us, you go right next to us. Lord, turn us this way, turn us that way, tell us to stop and pause. Lord, take the lead here. We want to follow you. Lord, I know that you will build your church, and we ask you to bless the efforts. I pray that we would have workers here and we'd have workers there. I pray that the churches would do well, Lord. God, for your namesake and for your glory, I pray that heaven would grow as a result of what happens at Cedar Creek and what happens at this new location. Lord, I pray that history would be changed for many people, many individuals, many families, many men, women, and children, Lord. I look forward to already baptizing somebody in the Mississippi River, Lord. I pray that new ones would come to know you. And Lord, just let it unfold as you wish. Lord, show us your ways and we want to follow you in every way. Thank you for this body of Christ right here that we can team up and be part of something bigger than our own lives. Lord, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.